Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Jesus is wonderful and beautiful and glorious and holy and merciful and powerful. He's our King. He's our God. He's our shepherd. He's our protector. He's our rock. He's our anchor. He's our defender. Listen, who's glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Jesus is the reason our church exists. He's the only reason we gather each week, and he is the most important decision and relationship you're going to have in your entire life. We are exactly 1 week away from Resurrection Sunday. Now, we celebrate every Sunday of the risen Savior, but the reality is next week is actually Resurrection Sunday. So you know that means today is the beginning of what's called the Passion Week, Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the day that Jesus came riding into Jerusalem, and he rode on a colt, a foal of a donkey. Now, why that? If he had come in on a white stallion, which is often how the kings of the day would go out to war, but after they had conquered and defeated their enemies, they would come back riding on a donkey. That seems strange to us today, but I want you to think about the symbolism of the day and what that means. Jesus came riding into Holy Week. He came riding into Jerusalem knowing that the crucifixion was coming. He came riding into Jerusalem knowing that he would be buried in a tomb, but he came saying, "I am the conquering king." He came as one who would show them that death would be defeated, that hell would be defeated, that he would rule and reign for all eternity. If you look in the scriptures in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the four eyewitness accounts of Jesus. And there are 89 chapters between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 26 chapters of those 89 are all about this one week, starting today with Palm Sunday and working their way to the crucifixion and then the resurrection. So there is more information available in the Bible about one single week in the life of Jesus than there is about any other week in the entire existence of humanity. God has gone to great detail for you and I to know that this week has everything about it significant and important for us. And so let's start with the prophecy about Palm Sunday. It says in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So that prophecy was written and given to Zechariah 500 years before Jesus shows up and is born in Bethlehem and then is riding that donkey this day into Jerusalem. So the Jewish crowds were hoping for a king, and they were looking for an insurrection. They wanted it to be this incredible revolution. But God was declaring Jesus is king, and he was planning a resurrection. Somebody say amen to that. Listen, God had a better plan. An insurrection would have changed the nation. It would have changed Jerusalem, but it would have changed the Jewish people. But a resurrection changes you and me. A resurrection changes all humanity and anyone that has ever been born. So here we are 2,000 years later, and we can still stand and shout, "That's my king. That's my savior. That's my defender. That's the one who gives us new life." Think about this. Hundreds of millions, if not billions of people have given their life to Jesus in the past 2,000 years. And you stop and think about the hundreds of millions of people that have come to Jesus through the cross. It reminds me of that old hymn that says, "There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you." Friends, let me start right here and say there's room at the cross for you. If you're here in this room and you're trying to figure out who Jesus is, let me start with the cross. He died so that your sin and mine could be forgiven. That's sometimes a hard thing to understand. I'll be glad to meet with you afterwards and explain it in full detail. But he gave his life to pay for your sin and mine. And there is room at the cross for you. If you're participating online, it's an honor to have you worshiping with us. It's going to look a little different for the next hour. In fact, let me tell you, we're going to celebrate communion. That's where we will take and remember what Jesus did for us. And so if you're at home, take a second right now, hop up from the TV or the computer and go grab some bread and some water or some bread and some juice. Grab something so that you're ready to take communion with us later. We have some little nifty post-COVID element, communion elements here for us. And so I don't mean these are old and that we've had them since COVID. That's not what I mean. What I mean is we're not sharing pieces of bread together. Sorry, let me be clear about this. This is brand new. And somebody asked me this morning, "This is good old Welch's grape juice. This is not, that's another church." Okay, anyway, so it's a, just understand that's the case. So together, as we gather together and celebrate communion in a little while, I pray that everything we sing and say now will direct our hearts toward Jesus on that Thursday where he had the Last Supper with the disciples. that everything we do will direct our hearts toward the crucifixion, and that we can boldly declare, those of us that know him, that there's room at the cross for us all. Every prodigal can return to him. He comes to say we can come to Jesus. Let's stand together and sing this song together.
You bought what they sold you just to find out the world's only good at letting you down. Come to Jesus. If the well that you draw from keeps running dry and the water you're drinking won't satisfy, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. There's room for us all at the foot of the cross, where perfect love paid every prodigal's cost. The Savior is waiting, arms open wide, so leave what's behind you behind. Come to Jesus.
God, we claim Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. God, if there's one person in the room, one person at home online, one person listening on the radio, Lord, that is not in you, or they don't know for certain that they're in you, I pray that right now your Holy Spirit would gently draw them, that they would understand what they're feeling and what they're sensing is coming from you, and you are calling them to come be saved. And God, I pray that men and women and boys and girls right this moment would stop and say, Jesus, I give you my life. I need your salvation. Save me. Make me new. Change me. God, please do that today. We pray this and we celebrate this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. Our freedom didn't start with the resurrection, though. We've talked about the resurrection, but our sin first had to pass through the cross. So Jesus went to the cross with your sin and my sin to make mercy and grace available for us all. In the book of Hebrews, the writer tells us this in Hebrews 4:14. Listen to his words. Now, these words can seem a little heady or technical, but listen to what it says. Since then, we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. What's the confession? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Do you understand that Jesus came fully as a man? Jesus, a lot of people will say things like, well, he was just God, so no wonder he didn't sin. He came as fully God and fully man. He was the God-man. Now, that's impossible to happen apart from God causing it to happen. So Jesus, in his flesh, as a man, came, and he was tempted the same way you and I are tempted, yet he was without sin, it says. Verse 16, so let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Friends, we need the mercy of God. So you and I, we are living proof of what the mercy of God can do. Here's a song that talks about that. It might be one of my favorite anthems we've ever sung. So listen and join in and praise the Lord as we sing this together.
I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. Is this goodness and power of his blood. I'm so
Father God, we celebrate the blood. We celebrate the mercy. We celebrate grace. You have provided it for us, and we are so thankful. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the power of the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. We have to go all the way back to Genesis, where Adam and Eve sinned, and in doing so, they were ashamed and they were afraid. And so at the first, they had been naked and had no shame and were not afraid. And then once sin entered the picture, they realized they were naked, naked and naked, two different things. They realized they were naked and they realized that they had great shame. And in doing so, they grabbed some leaves to try to cover themselves. Well, God came along and he is the provider. And he pointed to what would happen thousands of years later with the cross. By killing an animal and providing skin of an animal to cover them, to be clothing for them. So the first shedding of blood happened all the way back in the garden. And then years later, God established a sacrificial system where the blood of animals would cover people's sins for a short time. It did not last, but it was for a short time. And that was pointing forward to what Jesus would do for us. And then 2,000 years ago, God sent his son Jesus to become the ultimate sacrifice for us. Listen again from the book of Hebrews, now chapter 9. It says this, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats or calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." So the animals, the blood was shed of the animals so that the priests would be able to make a sacrifice so that our sins could be covered for a time. But Jesus goes into the Holy of Holies and he sacrifices his own blood, and it says eternal redemption. Then verse 13, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh." In other words, if what would happen in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, if it would just cleanse them on the outside for a little while, look at this, "how much more will the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Then skip down to verse 22. "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Now, friends, we live in a day and age where the modern day church will tell you, you have to be very careful to not offend people as you share grace and truth. Now, here's the reality. I don't want to offend anybody on purpose. From my snide remarks or things that I might say that are not appropriate, I never want to offend anybody. I don't want to do and have an action that offends someone. But I've got to be honest, the scripture is the scripture, and we must speak what it tells us. And over it talks about the blood of Jesus. So though some in modern day would say, don't talk about the blood because that's offensive, people don't want to hear. Friends, let me tell you something. We can't be here today apart from the blood of Jesus. He paid the ultimate price so that your sin and mine could be covered and made new in him. You were dead in your sin, and it was only through the blood of Jesus that we have been made whole. The miracle comes through the fact that he shed his blood for us and then came back to life in spite of our sin and for us that we might know him. So there is nothing but the blood of Jesus that makes us whole. I love this hymn. Let's sing it together. I'm gonna get you to stand one more time and let's lift it up together. Think about where we're headed with our communion in a moment as you stop and focus on the power of the blood. Nothing but the blood.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Oh,
God, we come again one more time and pray to you, and we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for his blood. We thank you that he knew it was coming and he chose that path anyway. We thank you that he willingly gave his life for us. He was not forced into it. And Father, may we be ever thankful, ever grateful for the sacrifice made. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. Before Jesus went to the cross, he had one final meal with the disciples. We call it the Last Supper. The truth is, it was the Passover meal, and it will be celebrated as Passover this very week. And as they were commemorating and remembering in the Passover meal what happened thousands of years earlier, where the Israelites were kept safe because of the angel that passed over their home and did not bring death to their homes when they escaped from Egypt. But that was designed to point forward to Jesus, who on this very same night was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And so that was pointing to him, and he was referring back to that. And now he tells them what's about to come. And he speaks the fact that he is going to shed his blood. He is going to have his body broken for them. But before he goes to the cross, he institutes a way to commemorate that we have now celebrated with millions upon millions of believers for 2,000 years. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 26 on that very night. It would be this coming Thursday. He says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it. And he gave it to the disciples, and he said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.'" Now, those words alone would have been jarring and shocking to them. And they really wouldn't have had any way to fully understand what he was trying to tell them until after the crucifixion, until after the resurrection. So what they would come to know later, we come to know now because we have 2,000 years of understanding. And then he says this, "And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks to God, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Now, friends, there are symbolic things in the scripture. There are literal things, many, many things in the scripture. There are some that are meant to point to allude to things, but I am a literalist, meaning every time I can, unless it's clear that it's a symbol, I believe it's literal. So when Jesus told those men that night that "I'm not going to drink this cup again until I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom," I fully believe from my understanding of the book of Revelation that there's a day coming when we will experience the marriage supper of the Lamb, and it's not just some symbol of what will happen, that we will drink it anew with Jesus. It's that there's a day coming that we will celebrate. We will commemorate his crucifixion for all eternity, but we will celebrate it new in the redemption we have in him. So he told them to do this often in remembrance of him. So I will ask you to take your elements, and I will tell you when to take and eat from the bread and then when to flip and drink from the juice. But my prayer is that you will stop and reflect as we sing on your own life and on what Jesus did for you. Friends, let's celebrate him now.
Mm-hmm. have a meal, let me reveal who I am. I'm your Savior. I will kneel down and wash all the sin from your soul. I'm your servant. I am all you need. I'm the lamb that was slain, and my blood washes you clean. I'm the pure sacrifice. Let
So Jesus said, take this bread. It is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread and eat together. Took the cup and he said, this is my blood. It's the new covenant. We walk in grace now because of this. Take and drink in honor of his sacrifice and the grace he gives us. Praise be to Jesus, our Savior.
We cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy. Is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy. We cry worthy.
I'm worthy.
We cry worthy. Is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy. Is the Lamb of God.
If you know Jesus, you're ready. So let's cry worthy. We cry worthy.
We cry worthy.
Come on, close your eyes.
We cry worthy.
We cry worthy.
We cry worthy is the Lamb of God.
We cry worthy.
We cry worthy. We cry worthy.
We cry worthy
is the Lamb.
Lift your voice. voice. We cry worthy.
We cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy.
It's the Lamb of God.
One more time.
We cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy.
It's the Lamb of God.
Jesus, you are the Lamb. You are worthy. We sing praise to you. We lift up your name. Father, we lift up our hands to say you are holy and worthy of all our surrender. Father, we give you our hearts, we give you our minds, we give you our hands and our feet. Father, every resource we have belongs to you. You are worthy of our next breath. You are worthy of our last breath. You are worthy of our heart's devotion. You are worthy of our mind's attention. Father God, you are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy. Holy Spirit, you are worthy. Thank you, Father, for letting us celebrate what Jesus did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends, and I want you to know the King is worthy. Amen? Amen. The King is worthy. The Lamb is worthy. We started our service with the song, "That's My King." It's a powerful song that was written based off the inspiration of a sermon preached in 1976, 49 years ago, S.M. Lockridge at Calvary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California, an African-American pastor preached a sermon. And in the middle of his long sermon is about a 5-minute excerpt or a little less where he describes King Jesus. And that's where the inspiration came from for the first song we sing. And it will be the inspiration for the last song we sing together in just a moment. So let me read to you. And I wish I was S.M. Lockridge and I could summon his voice and his ways, but I can't. But you listen to what he wrote. He said this: "The Bible says, my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He is the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder," he said, "do you know him?" Come on, what do you say? Do you know him? Amen. All right. "My King," he says, "is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him?" Yes. "He's the greatest phenomenon that's ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature, and he's the highest personality in philosophy. He is the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be the all-sufficient savior. I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sins. He discharges debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him? He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never fails and never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And he said, "I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind, and you can't get him off your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him." Amen? "Pilate couldn't find any fault with him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King." That's him. We have a King. We have this King. It is Jesus. And S.M. Lockridge got it right 49 years ago. And we get it right today when we tell you that Jesus is still King. He's King and Lord of your life. If you knew those words from the first song, that he's wonderful and beautiful and merciful and mighty and altogether lovely, that's your King. If he is all those things, listen, I can tell you guys, it is real easy though, from time to time, to walk like some of that doesn't have power. We can know he brought us salvation and we're maybe biding our time to heaven. But what I would say is this, on a day like today, Palm Sunday, it's easy to get excited and feel a lot of emotion towards what Jesus did for us. Next Sunday, it won't be a problem at all. It will be electrifying in this room by the power of the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday morning, no issue at all. But that's two out of 365 days. 363 days of the year, you might not be walking on water like you are today and next week, but you'll be walking on dry ground. And friend, walking on dry ground is where the road is hard. It's where we sometimes lose sight of the fact that he is the King, that he is the Redeemer, that he is the one that can make a way when nothing else can make a way. He is all of those things and so much more. So I want to encourage you, because you don't live your life on Easter Sunday and Palm Sunday. You live your life every day of the year. Wake up every day with the reminder that I have a King who cares about my family more than I do. Listen, I'm praying for God to deliver and bring new life to people in my extended family. How about you? I'm praying for that. I have a King. I found out just a little bit ago. I have an aunt. My dad's has one sister, and she just went to be with Jesus just a little bit ago this morning. Listen, I stop and think about the fact that she's with him now. And you know why? She's only there because of Jesus. She's only there because he brings new life. That's the King we have. He is a Redeemer. He is a Savior. Listen, friends. Between now and next Sunday, you might lose a loved one. Anything can happen. But the truth is, for those that know Jesus, there's redemption, there's power, there's holiness, there's perfection, there's safety in him. But if you know him and you're struggling with that day-to-day dry living, walking on dry ground, can I say to you today, if you're praying for someone, God is still in the deliverance business. God is still in the healing business. God is still in the saving business. God can still restore marriages. Listen, there's a song, and we're going to do it in a minute, not quite yet. It's called I Speak Jesus. And the name of Jesus brings great power. The name of Jesus brings ultimate power for us. We can speak the name of Jesus over our problems, but there's a lot of other words and names in your life that are having some great, maybe a heyday in your life. For some of you, it's the word divorce. That's a name that you don't want to think about and you don't want to talk about and you don't want to discuss, but that name and that word has some power in your life right now. This week, it's looming. For some of you, it's mental illness, and that's looming in your life for yourself, for someone you know and love. For others, maybe it's depression. For others, maybe it's emotional difficulties. For others, it's that you're needing a job, or maybe it's that you've got a spouse or a child or a parent or a friend that needs to know Jesus, or maybe there's some other problem in life, or maybe it's the big C cancer word. Whatever the case may be, there are things and words that bring a shudder to us and that help us shiver when we stop and think, listen, I don't even want to think about that word and how it's affected my family and my life. Maybe there's some brokenness and dysfunction in your family, and you may say, there's nothing that's ever going to fix that this side of heaven. Listen, I promise you, we have a God who still can. Jesus can be spoken over all things. Now, we don't speak him over things as if he belongs to us and we're the God and he's the servant, by no means. But we can ask him to move and do what only he can do, because you've figured out you can't do it on your own and I can't do it on my own. You've got problems in your life that are God-sized problems that it's going to take a miracle from him to solve. And the only way that's ever going to happen is when we speak the name of Jesus. So listen to this song and then declare in your own life what you're speaking the name of Jesus over and what you're asking him to do in your life and mine. We'll sing this, and if you can, you try to sing it with us when you know it. Let's lift it up to him together. Friends, we can speak the name of Jesus in your life. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Jesus, till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn life. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. In the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
And extend your hand and just speak the name of Jesus over your family and friends. Out loud, would you speak their name? God, would you move in power among our family? Pray to Him together. Come on, lift your voice in prayer and ask Him to do the work in your family's life. Come on, speak to Him. Father God, I'm asking that you move in power. We've got family that needs you, that needs to come to know you. We've got friends that need to come to know you. We've got church members that need healing. God, we're asking you to do that. Let's shout Jesus from the mountain together. Let's lift this up one more time. Sing it to Him. Somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Shout Jesus.
Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the street.
Been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.